This is One Universe at a Time. I'm Brian Koberline. Those familiar stains on our coffee tables are always the same shape. What makes them a ring instead of a circle or a random blob? On our show today is Dr. Kara Maki, an assistant professor of mathematics at the Rochester Institute of Technology. She's going to explain to us the physics of the coffee ring. One of the things I notice, and I'm a pretty avid coffee drinker, but when you spill coffee on the counter or something and you let it doesn't dry over the entire area. It tends to form a ring. It tends to go to the edges. I'm not really sure why that is.
It's really surprising because if you think about your coffee as it starts, the solute, that's what you're seeing, the dark ring, it's uniform, right? And then you just let this coffee dry and then everything migrates and ends up at the edges. So it is quite peculiar. And that's what sort of sparked my interest in trying to understand this problem. I read this really interesting paper written by Robert Deegan and all his, there's a group of people working on this, and they did a bunch of different experiments to try to understand why does this happen, right? So they tried changing the substrate, right? So maybe if I spill coffee on a different substrate, does it not form this ring? Or Maybe if I could somehow change the composition of my coffee so the solute particles are big, right? Would the ring not form? And what they found is that this ring is really robust. This drying pattern is really robust. I can explain to you the mechanism if that's what you want.
It seems very counterintuitive.
Yeah, it does seem really counterintuitive. So they found two very important ingredients that I think that everyone can understand. So the important part is that the thing has to be evaporating, right? So it has to be drying. And there has to be drying near the edge of your coffee droplet. So that's called the contact line. So in regards to the contact line, they found that the only time this pattern would appear is if the contact line is actually pinned. So while this coffee is evaporating away, the edge is actually not moving. It's not moving in, what you would think would happen, right?
Right.
As something is evaporating, you would think that there's less volume, right? So therefore, the edge has to move in.
Is this a surface tension thing? It kind of holds there? Or?
I don't think people know the answer. So some people argue that you could think of the surface as being really rough, and perhaps that's what's pinning the contact line. Or some people argue maybe the solute, or you could think of the solute as a particle. Perhaps that's pinning the contact line, but I think that's still a debate about what's happening there. So,
as long as it's fixed, then that's one of the things you have to have.
That's right. So what's happening is the contact line is fixed, right? But you're losing fluid there, right? But it's not moving in, right? So there has to be a flow with inside this droplet of coffee that's carrying the particles from the center of the drop to the edge.
Stuff has to evaporate. And because that point is moving, it's actually kind of flowing out towards the edge.
Imagine the edge is fixed, but it's losing mass,
right?
And so somehow you have to replenish that fluid that's being lost. That's the flow inside the droplet, right? That's carrying all these particles to the edge and forming this coffee ring. So Deegan was able to sort of, and coworkers were able to tease this out in some experiments that they did. For example, if they took their coffee and spilled it on a table, but then they covered it, they covered the droplet, and they covered it with a container that only had a hole in the tippity, in the top.
In the top, in the tippity top.
Yeah, in the center of the drop, right? What they were doing there is they were changing how evaporation was happening, and they were only letting more or less, the drop was mostly evaporating in the center and not at the edge. And they found that that would lead to a uniform pattern. So they could do these nice, simple experiments to show that you really need evaporation at the edge. Then what they did to show that the pinning was important is they spilled their coffee on Teflon. And then they showed that the contact line no longer stays pinned, right? So there's something special about this smooth Teflon that allows, as it's evaporating, the edge actually moves in, right? Because there's less volume there. So those are the two sort of experiments they did to verify that these two things were important. They did a bunch of other experiments to verify that the other things weren't important, right?
So how does that connect to what you've been doing?
So I read this paper, I was really excited about it, and there was one paragraph in the paper that got me really interested and something that they couldn't explain. So they did all these experiments, and mind you, well, I'm sure they did a little, some of the experiments with coffee, but they were mostly thinking, they were mostly using water. And inside the water, they put different size particles. And the particles are, right, to mimic the solute of the coffee. When they used larger size particles, what they found is sometimes during the drying process that the particles would migrate to the top of the drop and form a skin. And they weren't sure. They just had a whole paragraph commenting that the skin appeared when they used larger size particles. So when I say larger, they're only a micron in diameter, these spheres that they put in.
A thousandth of a millimeter.
That's right. That's right. So I tried to look up a reference and I found out that a grain of sand is 75 microns. So hopefully that helps people.
Tinier than sand.
Tinier than sand, right? But that was considered large. Right. And so they found the skin formed and they didn't understand why. So that was what I set out to try to identify. So what is the mechanism causing the skin to form? Now, they still got the coffee ring. So what would happen is the skin would form early on and then it would break up and all the particles would go to the edge.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
You would think maybe that the larger particles, you wouldn't form the edge because the flow wouldn't move the particles as much.
Ah, yes. But they're still tiny enough that they just...
They're still small enough that works.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. So that's what got me... This one paragraph in this paper that I was reading got me really excited about this. And I thought, well, maybe I can use some math to try to understand. What can I tease out this mechanism? Can I determine what it is using some mathematical modeling?
That's kind of a classic thing in science where they're looking at one particular process and there's this one little strange thing that they just kind of make in passing and somebody else goes, yoink.
Yes, exactly.
I'll take that. Let's see what that can do with that.
Yes, yes.
So what did you find in this aspect of forming the layers?
Yeah, so I went after trying to model it. Basically, what the model suggests is that at the interface, so you have this droplet of liquid that's sitting on top of the substrate. It has particles in it and it's evaporating. And you can think of this interface as like a windshield wiper. So as it's evaporating, the interface is moving down, right? It's getting, right? And it's collecting particles at the surface. It's collecting.
As it shrinks down, it's actually gathering more particles because there's nowhere for them to go.
Exactly. When these particles start to pile up, you can imagine that a mechanism of movement for them would be diffusion, right? So if many of them start to pile up, they form a concentration gradient, but maybe there's a better way I can try to describe that, right? And so then diffusion starts to kick in, and these particles start to get pushed out from this region.
Right. They want to be there, but there's not enough space for them to be
exactly.
there, so they get pushed out of the way then.
Exactly,
okay.
Exactly. So it's this competition between these two effects, right? So you can imagine the interface is collecting them, like a windshield wiper, right? And then diffusion is trying to kick them out of the way, right? Getting them out of this small area. When you have larger size particles, diffusion is weaker. And so this effect is weaker, and so the evaporation is sort of winning.
Okay.
This windshield wiper effect is sort of winning and is collecting the particles at the interface. So at least that's what our model hints at. It suggests that's the mechanism.
So now, bigger particles get there, and then they're not moving.
They're not. They can't diffuse as quickly as smaller particles.
It reminds me kind of if you had a rock concert, you know, and all the kids want to get to the front, but if you had all these 6 foot tall football players or something in the front, it's like, oh, not moving.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. Right. They don't get out of the way.
They don't.